everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Vegas Will.
You are. Hi, Roland William. Anyway, this week's talk is going to be about year-end dog shows and chasing those points, judging qualifications, and again, sportsmanship and civilized discussion. All that and more right here on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, 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 oh.
Yellow hair. Live from Las Vegas, it's William Alexander. Good morning, Will.
Oh, my God, Wayne.
How's it going there, bud?
It's going. We're on a tight schedule because we're seeing it. I see I don't gamble or drink, so I'm on a tight schedule of all the different things we're seeing and are walking and 10 to 15,000 steps a day.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's good for you, right? There you go. Yeah. Get your get steps in and not lose any money or have a hangover. That's the best way to go to Las Vegas, as far as I'm concerned. You know, Cheryl and I went to the, well, we've been a couple of times, usually for dog seminar, not usually, always for a dog seminar. Because Wild used to have those, Wally Bidet used to have those dog show judges, whatever it is, at senior dog show. Well, I'm sorry. I apologize for not remembering the acronym. But his group of judges education folks would have their seminars out there. And we'd all go and, you know, do a little touring while we were there. I'm not much for gambling, and I certainly don't drink anything anymore. Too old. But we always managed to have a good time going to some shows and things. And, you know, the seminars were fun. They were fun to do. And
does Elvis put on the seminar?
Sorry?
Does Elvis put on the seminar while you're in Las Vegas?
One of the Elvis impersonators did a lot of the breeds. Yeah, but we had Liberace doing some too. Yeah. There was one of the Tiger guys. One of those guys? Not Burton Elmo. Yeah, Siegfried and Freud. I thought it was Burton Elmo, but you're right, Will. It's Siegfried and Freud. They tried doing some seminars. They were showing, they were demonstrating bites. And it didn't work out for them. I'm sorry.
It didn't work out for them. Where are all we people?
They were demonstrating the ones where you open the mouth completely and stick your head in. That's never a good idea. And by the way, I saw a couple of judges do that this weekend. But anyway, well, I'm glad you're having a good time there. And you're heading home soon.
Yeah.
And then what? What's next?
Well, for me, I don't have anything till after Christmas.
Wow. Yeah. Relaxing. I wish you could come down and just visit down there in Orlando.
What, Orlando?
Yeah, it'd be fun to see you.
I know. I really want to. I just didn't see how I could. I had so much to do at home to catch up on. And I didn't want to, put the time off.
It's expensive. I was flying in on Monday for the seminars on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and coming home Saturday morning. And then Cheryl said to me this weekend, she said, "You're not staying for the dog show?" And I thought, well, I guess I'm not. But since it's sporting and hound and toy and non-sporting on Saturday, I am going to stay. I called. And the good news is Delta made a change to my itinerary by like 6 minutes. You know, they send you that thing, your flight's been changed. And that gives you the opportunity for free.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I changed it. So I was able to change it so I can fly back on Sunday morning. So I'll be there for the show Saturday, and hopefully I'll be able to get someone fun to watch and learn some breeds from ringside. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Should be fun. Entry's great. 50 some hundred.
That's amazing. It's going to be an amazing show as usual. So
yeah, it is. It's, I don't know if it's what their record is. But
got to be around there somewhere.
Yeah, probably, because you've got, I don't know, let's see what the total entry is here. It's 5,208 dogs and a total of entry of 5,376 entries. And there's a lot of specialties. There's shows going on. I think they already started and they keep going all the way through.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have, everybody's in Oaks, Pennsylvania right now. And then they leave on Sunday night and they start, I think they start Monday.
Yeah.
In Florida.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, quite the extravaganza down there. I'm and there's a bunch of, you know, a bunch of good meetings and seminars too. The I'm looking forward to the seminars. It doesn't tell you who's doing them right away, so I'm really looking forward to seeing which ones, who's doing what. You know, it should be interesting to see who's giving what seminars and how that's going to work out, but. Should be fun. So we'll see. I've got quite a list of breeds, mostly sight hounds and scent hounds. In fact, I'm taking all hounds. Borzoi, Greyhound, Ridgeback, Basenjis, Grands, Petits, and others. And other black and tan coon hounds, which should be interesting for me. I've seen a few of those, more than probably anyone, because of all the coon hunts and things. So I'll come from a much more functional perspective. It could be interesting for me to adjust my eye. So the seminars are, have you haven't been to any of these down here? Have you?
Will? No, I haven't. No.
You know, and do you really don't need to, if you're going to use your Canadian license, would you still be able to apply for the special exemption thing in for AKC judges to judge down here?
I could. I just have to, I could not use my Canadian license while I'm down there. I'd have to strictly use the one I applied for down there. So
yeah. Could you do, is that possible? Can you do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Oh, well, that would give you more opportunities to come down here, right?
Well, we already have 16 now. So that, do we need much more? I don't know.
Yeah, I can tell you that.
I don't plan on making a living on it. I don't want to be gone every weekend. So.
Yeah, you know, it gets, that is a question I get a lot, and I certainly got a lot of, this weekend. I talked to a bunch of handlers that are of our vintage, maybe my vintage, that really want to retire from showing dogs. They're breaking down their bodies and you know, mental health and physical health, and it's hard to make a living like it used to. And they want to judge, and they are all hoping that they get those recommendations to start with the whole group. there's two things that I like about that. One is that they deserve it if they put their entire life into going to shows every single weekend for 50 years. Yeah. That ought to give you a little something. And the other is that we need the judges, really need the judges. I saw some... I mean, not to, maybe I shouldn't, but boy, I saw some judging this weekend that really
creative.
Let's go with that. Yeah, let's go with that. And it wasn't just the selections, it's the way they went about them, the way they went over the dogs. And I don't know. It's
that was the problem up until this new recommendation, is that the handlers that, or the handlers or exhibitors that should be judging, they couldn't afford to do it. Couldn't afford to make the transfer because it took so long to get anywhere, especially to make any kind of income. You know.
Well, it's true, and it's worse than that because it's going to cost you. You know, it could cost you $5,000-$10,000 if you're going to really. That's how much it costs. Or more, at least 3,000 a group, between fees, flying to nationals, taking seminars, filling out applications. It really is thousands. So you'd have to be spending that while not making any money, and then waiting to get enough provisionals to. And then if you've got the odd breeds, which you need to finish a group, you're not going to get 3 assignments where you've gotten majors in American Water Spaniels or some of the, you know, the spaniels that have less populations. So you're going to have to wait until you do them 6-8 times and then, you know, plead your case. So it takes a long time in between. And it would be, and then again, then you have to get assignments. It's not like the day you get approved, you're trying to be the weekend.
And let's face it, a lot of handlers, unless they have the backup plan of boarding kennels and whatnot, this is what they do. And
yeah, it's tough.
It will change.
And if they have boarding kennels and they have to go judging every weekend and go away, you have to certainly make sure you have help that can take care of that business. And you're not going to make any real money judging anyway. I mean, it's like Social Security. You're just not. And even with the fees people are charging now, and by the way, a lot of judges are charging now $450, $500. I can see that because they spent so much money doing it. And if you've got five groups, you're worth it in the larger financial scheme of things for clubs. The only hesitation I have with handlers, and remember, I'm, you know, worked for them, love them, all that. Will they, I hope, not give subconsciously, not give too much emphasis to presentation and grooming? I hope not. I don't think so. But I think it's a natural thing.
I think that, like, I remember showing to Janie, and she always spoke to me when I was in the ring, you know, and she'd be going over my whatever dog on the table, and she'd say, "See that dog, two dogs down? That's a hell of a dog. Imagine if you had that." Like, she'd see it like that, you know. And
right.
Because she could see that she could see the dogs that she wanted to show, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can't help but do that, right?
Oh, exactly. And then, you know, we all do things differently, even showing them, not just conditioning, the way you present them yourself, what you could do at home with them to make them even better. Like, there's a beautiful starting point, you know.
Yeah. I mean, but we all come from it. Our background in the sport is really how we approach things. I mean, I've worked for handlers and I've shown some dogs. And I also am a breeder. So I approach it from that viewpoint. Jim Edwards, as a biologist and a geneticist, he always said he judged from the inside out and I judge from the outside in. The veterinarians approach it from a different viewpoint, thinking what structural issues will cause that dog maladies in the future. I don't think any of this is conscious. In fact, I know it's not. But I wonder, our backgrounds do bring a certain slant, perhaps,
to our
likes and dislikes. So we have to make sure. And the good news is, these days, a lot of handlers are breeders. You know, that's something we didn't typically see as much back in the day. But there are more handlers that are breeding their own dogs now. And that's, I think that's a positive sign. So it'll be fun. And we need them. I mean, they have so much more depth in the sport just because they've done it hundreds of times every year for 40, 50, 30 years. We're talking about tens and tens and thousands of seeing dogs. Without seeing good dogs, you'll never be a good judge. They certainly have seen a lot. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't have great breeders be advanced as well. I believe they should. So it'll be fun to see how this works out. But we need more judges. We need more knowledgeable judges. Right. And I hope people are able to take advantage of that. But even if you do get that blessing, and even if you do get that group, your assignments are going to be a year away.
Oh, and you still have to pay for the seminars. You still have to pay to find the points. You still have to.
You'll need new clothes.
Yeah, it's just a pass saying you can pass, go.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting. It is. And then, of course, you've got, you know, people would say to me, well, handlers have their friends going to put up handlers. Really? Because I've got a lot of breeder friends that I'm friends with, too. I don't think that has anything to do with it at all. I really don't. Whenever I hear people saying this dog won because it was a handler, does it happen? Maybe. Sure, it does. But maybe it's because they've got the dog looking like, you know, the best that dog can look in the minute and a half a judge have to see it.
Right.
So it's hard to go searching. We have a big entry and try and discover stuff that's untrimmed and untrained. Can be done.
But like we have a judges group up here, CDJA, and a few years ago, Thora Brown put out this poll. She was the president back then, I believe, and it was what judges expect from exhibitors. And number one, because she polled all her members, and number one was a trained dog. You know, a trained dog. You've been and a half. You know, and this number two was a clean dog.
What I was going to say bath might be one to me.
What does that tell you? That the number two was a clean dog. That tells me that they're getting a lot of exhibits out there that aren't clean.
So. Absolutely. You go, you know, you keep your hand sanitized around your table now because, I guess you did it because of whatever viruses in the past and transferring, transferring dogs from germs from one or the other, whatever. It now, for me, in some breeds in particular, and I can tell you the breeds, you need to wash your hands after every class because they're just filthy.
Well, I remember walking to ringside at a show a few last year with a buddy of mine, and we could smell where that breed was being judged.
That's for sure. And by the way, how hard is it to scale teeth? It's not that hard.
No.
You know, when you open a mouth and you see all the scaling and tartar, Jesus, take it. I'm sorry. I shouldn't use the name, but please take scale those teeth. I mean, you're not going to lose because of it under me. Trust me. You're not going to lose because it's not hereditary, right. But have the respect and courtesy to bring your dog in the ring with clean teeth, clean eyes, and a bath.
But I also, on that note, I want to say, because I showed a lot of dogs over the years, and there are some lines of dogs, families of dogs, that get stained teeth that you can't clean. And I remember showing a certain dog to a judge, and every time I showed him, he kept saying, "Will, clean his teeth." I'm like, "They are clean. It's staining. That's as best as I'm going to do."
Yeah.
And if you look back in that dog's family tree, it's prevalent, you know, the stained teeth.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, I'm talking, I don't mind staining.
It's
the stuff that I want to chip off with my fingernail.
Oh, exactly.
You know, that's the stuff that just shows me someone's not paying attention. Anyway, be that as it may. It's the seminars down there will give a lot of people, I think there are 3-point seminars. So it'll be interesting to see, and it will happen. I guarantee you it will happen that there will be people in each seminar that never will get it, don't get it, ask stupid questions, and are going to really be there just to get their certificate signed. There also is going to be 3 or 4 that really get it. And I hope at least 3 or 4, and maybe even challenge have a respectful debate on some issues with some of the presenters. And then there'll be those in the middle that are just sitting there, you know, hoping to learn what they can with the best intentions, maybe not enough background to absorb the information. The breeds that I'm taking down there, I think I'm taking 12. I printed those standardized a long time ago, and I put them in a little binder with my trip folder, and I've gone all the judging education websites that those breeds offer, if they do, to look and see what's going on, because I don't want to look stupid when I go in there and ask questions. Does everyone get prepared before they go to those, or are they hoping to walk in, learn enough, and start judging?
Yeah, I don't know if they get prepared to the extent you do.
But, I can't help myself. I know.
And there's some, like, I think we have some people that have been doing dog shows their whole life and think that they can just sit there and absorb it and still have a credible debate platform because of their background in the sport. So, yeah, I think there's some that are going to walk in that are just box checkers, right?
Yeah. I did a group, an owner-handler group that's not my particular group. And one of the reps said, well, you've pretty much did what I would have done. And I said, so you're going to apply for dogs in that group and breeds in that group? And I said, no, because I really couldn't tell you why I did it to the degree that I would have liked to. I can explain them all and tell you why, but I'm just not as comfortable with the details as I am in other breeds. That's got to be the case. You can't be comfortable in all the breeds, right?
Oh, for sure.
You know, but anyway, I was down visiting Brody. Cheryl and I went down sort of for his birthday's next week, but we thought we'd go out to dinner and celebrate a little early. And on Sunday morning, Brody woke up and said, hey, Dad, let's run over to the dog show. There's a dog show grounds in West Friendship, Maryland, that are a half hour from his house. There's a show there almost every other weekend of some sort. And it's a great little show site, nothing fancy, just a couple, you know, pole barns. But for a fairgrounds to be in the middle of this beautiful, usually fairgrounds are in a fairly, well, in not the best, prettiest areas.
Yeah.
You go into this place, it's beautiful. It's surrounding, the drive there is pretty. It's situated in this big field surrounded by farms. It's beautiful. And they do a great job. They've added on a building and it works out real well for the size shows they get. But again, 1-1-2s, 1-1-2s, one, you know, 1-2-1s. And not a small show, 1,000 dog show. 1-1-0, 1-0. By the way, looking at entries for the end of November or through November, maybe even, and December, I haven't really kept up with my spreadsheets on how many entries per show, but I can tell you that it's been a lot bigger this last month and a half.
Oh, everybody's scrambling.
If you will.
Everybody's scrambling. We have a show right after Christmas, like right after Christmas, 27th, 28th, 29th, that the late Doug Windsor started, the Elora Gorge Kennel Club. And everybody's like, oh, I'm not going to go to that. That's family time. That's holidays. It maxes out. It's a limited show of 400 dogs a day, and it gets 400 dogs a day because if you build it, they will come.
Well, so, also, if you're in a race, if you're in a race for those points. And by the way, I made it a point to talk to every handler that I could this weekend at the shows that had a dog that may be in a race of some sort. In fact, they were. All of them were for at some level. And I also, and I said to them, you know, who, like we've talked about before, who was second in that breed last year? Who was top dog all breeds 3 years ago? No one knew. And they all think the same thing. They all think it's kind of silly. We don't really want to do it, but you know, that's what's expected of you when you're hired.
Yeah. It's the dogs they remember. Like I think we talked last week about Val was talking about when I interviewed Val, she was talking about that one dog that she campaigned all year long without advertising.
Yeah.
And it's the dogs that people remember. It's in the long run.
Yeah, it's we talked about Miss P 1 year. Everyone remembers it really showed her for a year. That's not done anymore. Never could be done. You know, the points races, Val said something in that interview that I thought, but it's, you know, I've heard it a million times, but it reminded me. I've even written about it, I think. The systems aren't going away. They're just not. They're fun. People love them.
Oh, for sure.
And they're out of the, you know, you can't take them back now. They're out there. But wouldn't it be nice if that all the rating systems would just say, you can show as many times as you want, but only 100 count. And you check the box when you enter whether you want it to count or not. Or some way of using those shows. Because you don't want to say the first 100. You want to spread them out. But as far as, and this is for top dogs only, You can show them
do it prior. You can't do it back before. You have to do it prior. You can't do it afterwards after you've won.
Right. Well, right. Yeah, I count that one. But if you do it prior and you've picked 100 shows and it's over, you don't have to show the dog 200 times if you don't want to. Something like that might help. I don't know. Well, I do know. I've written about 1,000 suggestions, but no one wants to hear.
How they implement them and make everybody happy. I just don't know. It's
It should be up to the clubs and the AKC to sort this out. But the magazines could help by trying to come up with something more creative that would not require dogs to go to that many shows so they could have a life, and the handlers could have, and exhibitors and breeders could have a life and not run around every weekend. I mean, it's my daughter's wedding. Can't go. I've got a point to win. It's a chase. I can't take a weekend off. I won't be number one Schutzelfunk.
Exactly. That's what Doug Boudreaux was thinking when he put his dog show right after Christmas. He knew it'd be the end of the year, and all those last minute people want points. They were going to drive through a snowstorm to get to his dog show.
Well, having Royal Canin at the end of the year is pretty obvious.
Used to be Cleveland, remember? He used to be Cleveland. Yeah. Everybody'd show up there.
Oh, boy, do I remember that. I remember that real well. Yeah, it was one I never missed, either judging or showing or whatever. That was one that I looked forward to every year. And it was, not too far from me either. By the way, it's not inexpensive to go to Florida for 6 days.
Oh, I'm sure.
Room rates aren't cheap. Flights are not inexpensive. And, 6 days eating out and meals and dinners and clothes. Yeah. So if you want to get seminars done, it's going to cost you $5,000. Oh, plus you have to pay for the seminars.
Yeah.
That's up real quick. So if you don't have the time and resources, it's harder to gather those CEUs. I forget the country, but it's a smart one. It's probably like Sweden or Denmark or somewhere. I don't know where. I'm going to get it wrong. But when they pull you over for speeding, you get a ticket based on your tax return from the year before. And the policeman has that information when they pull you over, and that's how much fine you pay. Because really, if I get a $300 fine, for speeding. But if you're working an hourly job trying to make ends meet, and you get a $300 ticket, that could wipe you out, right? So
invoice like that.
Yeah, exactly. So here we have judges who are really, everybody pays the same. And I guess that's fair. That's the only way to really do it. I don't know how else you would do it. In this country, no one's going to be sharing all their income tax returns on the police system. But and thank goodness for that. But it definitely gives an edge to those. And it may be not even people who can afford to do it. It might be people who are mortgaging their house to do it. I don't know.
Exactly.
Or giving up on a lot at home just so they can get to all the seminars. We've all had clients that had not enough money to really finish their dog, but they did it anyway, working extra hours. And you'd think, man, that's just, maybe you should change your priorities, but all's well. All's well. Did have some interesting surprise comments on the Dog Show Drive podcast and how people enjoy it. And I told them just how hard we work and plan ahead, Will. I told them about all the research, Will. I let the cat out of the bag. I told them how hard we work on this.
We did get an email, though.
We didn't. It's a good, serious email, and I think we should. Yeah. If you don't mind.
I'll read it to you. Good morning. I'm not sure if this is the correct email to contact Kiplova. Hope this finds its way to the right place. A recent event and social media post has received my attention. I'm looking to get advice on how to handle it. I'm not a seasoned exhibitor when it comes to dog shows. Come out every couple of years to enjoy the sport, meet new people, etc. However, Recent events have tarnished that for me and my 13-year-old daughter. A video was posted announcing someone's win, but also presenting a poor example of two other dogs, one more so than the other in the ring. One dog being owned by my 13-year-old, but not shown by her. The video obviously focuses on this dog that was startled while entering the ring, resulting in the dog not showing its best. There's also a few comments within the person's write-up that mock this dog's previous ads. I'm wondering if you can offer some advice to share with a 13-year-old on how to handle this, and if I should confront this person and ask them not to share videos that contain other dogs without their permission. Thank you.
Well, I had a conversation with one of our children about, and I remember doing this in college, having the same conversation. You're going to run into idiots at work, at school, in the store, and at dog shows. It's brutal training, especially for a teenager who should never have to go through it. But I would suggest that that teenager just realizes that she's above the fray, and that person isn't worth renting space in her head to. Don't give those people free space in your head to think about. Erase them. Throw them away. They don't deserve taking up the time in your head that could be used for better things. They truly aren't worth it. I might politely somehow, but how do you politely confront someone who's an idiot and does stuff like that?
You can't win arguments with idiots. You just can't. No. So why confront them?
I wouldn't either.
Whenever something came across, and even when Adam calls me and says this is happening, I say ignore it. Rise above it. That person is going to go away and choose someone else to torment for a while.
Yeah, but it's hurtful.
It is hurtful.
It's even more hurtful if you let it be more hurtful. And if you can try to rise above it, like Bo just said, and focus on the other good. There's so many good people at shows that will back you up. And I guarantee there's not a whole lot of people out there that are applauding this woman's decision or this person's decision to do those nasty things. It's always a challenge. Dear friends of ours, Will, were being just harassed evilly with homophobic slurs. We had an instance with another friend of ours that was being accused of something he didn't do. It was a mistaken identity issue.
Yeah.
These are all social media things you're talking about. Is the AKC expected to come in and make a call on every one of these? I wouldn't think so. There may be situations where they have to, but they can't monitor social media and try to make decisions. I would just try your best. It's not easy. We've all had to try to do it. Put it behind you and move on. And you know what you want to do? Beat her the next time. Bring a real good one. Get the best training done and grooming you can do and go in and win. Nothing. And here's another, and I'm certainly not licensed to give you psychological advice. When you're driving and everybody's intense and in a hurry and crabby, and someone thinks someone cut them off, and the one person flips them the bird or makes some gesture that's inappropriate. You know what I do? I wave, smile, wave, and slow down and let them have the lane. Because I remember saying to myself, they're having the bad day. They're the ones having the bad day, and they're not going to make my day bad. Right. I'm going to just say, that's the idiot. They're having a bad day. Not me. I'm happy. I'm smiling. Go ahead. Do I practice what I preach? 90% of the time.
So don't you love the justice, though, when this guy passes you, flips you the bird.
Yeah.
And then you pass him because there's traffic up front. And you slowly get right by him. Just wave at him again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Or you meet him in a traffic light. And they just passed 13 cars, including cutting you off, to get to the traffic light. But you've arrived there at the same time. That's yeah. even more, by just taking your time and driving regularly. And there you turn and just give them a little wave again. You know, it's always fun.
Some people just can't help themselves. So my old boss had to be faster than the car in front of him.
Yeah.
He had to. No, I'm like, what are you doing? It's almost like, all right, there's one down. All right, next one. And he'd see the next one. He had to be faster than that one. He just yeah. had this.
But my kids are always saying, you know, that's just idiots are driving. There's people cutting the other. Yeah. Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is if you're the only good driver and everyone else is an idiot, maybe you better reexamine your driving. And the other is if you let them get to you, they win. And the same thing in this situation. If you let it get to you that they did these things, with their social media posts and their videos and mocking other dogs. If you let it get to you, they win. Don't let them get to you.
I like
that. They're not worth it.
I like that, what you said about use it as fuel. Use it as fuel to get better. You know?
Use it as inspiration. Use it as fuel. Get better and quietly go beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame. We do hear a lot about bad mouthing at ringside of dogs. That's been going on forever.
Yeah.
It's part of the sport. You got to get used to. You have to get used to there being idiots in the sport. You're going to have to get it starts. I always told my kids in college, well, I'm not sure about my roommate. Guess what? You're going to have an office mate just like that for the rest of your life. You know, so learn to deal with it. And the best way to learn to deal with it is not to let it get you angry, because if so, they win.
Exactly. And it is, I guess it's a coping mechanism we have to use in this sport, but you have to get used to it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But really, at the end of the day, if something happens, everyone except those few idiots are going to come to your aid. I witnessed it this weekend at the shows. Handlers getting and this used to happen to us, the Forsythes, all the time. We'd win all the groups. We had to go find handlers for everything, right? And people have always covered other dogs for each other. And God, Anya won three groups this weekend. And you know, she's in there with half the best in Shiloh, almost half the best in show lineup. You get friends to cover, friends to help, friends to hold dogs. You know what? As a judge, you know what drives me crazy? That I can't help hold somebody's dog.
Oh, I know.
Because
yeah.
If you held somebody's dog at a show in Maryland in November, clearly you're going to put that dog up 2 years from now in Sacramento. You know, I mean, as stupid as that.
But something about that the magic that goes through the lead into your hand. Like, I don't know what it is, but yeah, I'm going to hold this dog, and I'm going to remember holding this dog, and I'm going to give it free next time. Because look at this dog.
Oh, I can't talk to my friend because he might be showing under me that day. I've been talking to him for 50 years. What the hell's? Give it a rest. I mean, you should try to make, you know, try your best to, I mean, you don't go hang out with them in the grooming area and have lunch with them. I mean, that's really bad taste. You know, at least try to show some decorum and fairness. But it's okay to say good morning to someone you've known for 40, 50, 30, 20 years.
And it's all perception, but even the ones I've back in the day when we used to do that more, you know, certain judges used to come and sit and talk to me.
Yeah.
And then they beat the crap out of me.
Of course. They might want to tell you how much they hate your dog. You don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, no, it's nothing personal, Will. Nothing personal.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, it's a time of the year where there's a lot of point chasing going on. And then, of course, there are I wouldn't want to do a judging panel in December. Because you can, the show chair of those certain shows can determine who the number one dog is by having judges that don't like the other competitors or the one that's close in second, right, or whatever, whether it's intentional or unintentional. Those things are always interesting to see. That's why I kind of like the wild card foreign judges. Some people hate it. I mean, and I understand why they hate it, but I like that they're just going to give a different opinion. What's wrong with that?
But in the club giving defense, most of the judges are prearranged years in advance, so it's hard to.
Most,
yeah.
But substitutions have to be made sometimes. And yeah, that's where it gets tricky. I wouldn't want to be in that position.
I'll tell you, it's a quick story. Sorry. I flew out when I was a kid, showing Irish Setter. I flew and visited our friend Doug out in the West, in the wild, wild West, Edmonton. And I went out there because I had judges who were very good for the Irish Setter. I had Mrs. Clark and Andrina Bernotti. So they were both very good for the Irish Setter. I get there. And Doug comes, after we're all set up, we're having our coffee and whatnot. And Doug comes running the set up. He says, "Don't freak out. Don't freak out." I'm like, "What?" So he took me to ringside, change of judge for Irish Setters only. And I said, "Oh, no." And the judge that was taking over Irish Setters was judging in rank 4. But when it came term for Irish Setters, he was leaving that ring and coming to a different ring to do Irish Setters. Well, the steward that was stewarding for him in the other rings was the owner of one of my competitors. So I'm 22. I'm losing it, like losing it. I go in the ring. Mrs. Clark is doing group and best of show, but she's now not doing best of breed. And I go in there and I lose best of breed to the ring steward.
Did you really? Yes. Oh, man.
Walk back calmly. I put my dog, because I always set up and put Doug back then when I was out west. And it was rows. It was sort of like Tar Heels. So it was rows that we had to go down. So I walked back and I put my dog in his crate and I turn around and there's Doug. And he's blocking the entrance. Trying to dart and dodge around him. Like, stop it. Nothing you can do. Stop it. It's over. Stop it. And I'm 22 and my face is red and I'm losing it. The next day, I'm sitting at ringside and Mrs. Bernotti, I'd done well under Mrs. Bernotti. Mrs. Clark came over and she said the exact same thing. She said, "Remember, it's not who is," she said something to the effect that it wasn't who was number one, it's the dogs they remember. And people will remember your dog being out here.
So, true. Yeah. And young William, I've got to run off to a meeting.
Oh,
so that what I'm going to remember is how wonderful our record is at the dog show drive and how wonderful you are. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Well, I'm just trying to get a segue out of here. And I'm thinking I'm
going to go. Wait a second. I got another story.
You'll have to wait the next week. Anyway, from Kalamazoo, Michigan in Las Vegas, Nevada. Or is it? Oh, boy, did I say that wrong? Nevada, Nevada. Ooh.
Tomato, tomato. You say tomato, yeah. I say, I don't know, Nevada.
Don't keep those cards and letters coming in.
Vegas. All right. Vegas, baby.
Take care, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. Yeah. Young William, take us out, buddy.
Stay safe out there, guys, and we'll see you down the road.
Absolutely.
Party on, Bert.
No way. Way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sins.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reels.
That's right.
Without you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Hit it.
Under my feet. Stranger
things.
Thanks, Ernie.
Oh, we didn't mention hockey either.
Isn't that unbelievable, though? Put that in, Doc.
Man, I want to see it on a blooper anywhere.
Nailed it.